Amen. It's good to see everybody out for the home group meeting tonight. Amen. If we're kind of out of order, usually Brother Freddie goes first and in the month, and then I go. And Brother Freddie's under the weather. He has a Carolina crud, and we need to remember him in our prayers. But it's good to have everybody out. There's many other people that are busy and not feeling well, and we need to keep them in our prayers also. Amen. Let's go ahead and get started and see what the Lord has for us. I'm really excited. This is going to be a very, very good, as all of them are, World of the Shoes for Modern Time, and the Lord kind of spoke to me as I was putting this together. Amen. But before we get going with what the Lord has for tonight, let's go ahead and kind of look back a little bit and for what we looked at last month, to point our spirit in and get us moving forward. Amen. Last month we looked at battles brings victory. Amen. Battles brings victory. Well, there never ever be a victory unless you go through a battle. Without a battle, there can be no victory. And so battles bring victory, and also we saw last month that battles also bring spoils which enrich our life. Battle brings spoils which enrich our life. Amen. The second point we looked at, and there's 5 points we'll look at quickly. Amen. Moving out of God's time will spell unfulfillment and defeat. Wow. Moving out of God's timing will spell unfulfillment and defeat. You know, when you do something for God, do something new as God wants to do in our life, as we are starting the Rock Fellowship, you know, you crawl, you walk, you run. And in that crawling stage, when things aren't going well and people don't show up and stuff like that, you kind of feel the Lord wants you to do it, you know, you can be unfulfilled sometimes in that. Well, it's in those times you remember that this is God's will. And in God's will, there will be fulfillment and there will be no defeat, because there's no defeat in God. But in times, if you move out of God's time, that will go ahead and there will be unfulfillment, and you know that's not what you're supposed to do, and so that's not a sin. You just back up, you regroup, and then you just move in what God is doing. Amen. The third and a very, very important point that we looked at last month is about details. Details matter in God. Let me say that again. Details matter in God. We must move under the commandments of God. Those little details, God is very, very concerned about details. God is more concerned about little details than he is about big details. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. God is very concerned about those little, small, insignificant things we think in our life. God is closely scrutinizing us in those. The smaller the little issue, well, that's not important. Well, the smaller the issue, the more important it is to God in our life. Amen? Details are important, especially the little details, because God knows that He can get us to walk in the truth of these little issues, these little character issues even in our life. Then the big issues won't be a problem. Won't be a problem. The fourth area we looked at is there is not victory outside of the will of God. It's impossible for us to be victorious. Now, we may, we could have a life and it would be okay, but that's not so in God. There only in God is there victory. And it's the victory that the victorious Christian living that God has for us in our life. You know, we can just go ahead and, you know, just do those things, the minimum bare necessities that we must do to call a Christian and doing whatever. But we live that mediocre life. And the mediocre life is not what God is after. Jesus in John 10:10 said, "I have come that you may have life, and have life more abundantly." Now, that's not a name that you claim it, but what that is, that's talking about the life of God, Zoe, God's life. God desires that we come and we have take His life into us. And even Brother Dean was talking about that in John, in John 6, I think 52, Jesus said, unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you will have no life in you. Everything you touch will turn to death, right? Amen. And so Jesus said, I have come that you may have life. And the fifth point is, God is with us in every situation, even the ones we get stuck, or even the ones we get off track in. Oh boy, is that a mouthful. God is with us. He said, I will never leave you or forsake you. You know, we always think, well, that is in terrible times, and God's going to be with us, and then but even in the situations when we get off track, when we're not doing what we're supposed to do, even in sin, even in sin, God does not leave us. God always finds us in sin. If we don't sin, then there's no need for Jesus Christ to die. God will never leave us. He will never. All souls are His. And God is always with us in every situation of our life. Even the ones we get off track in. Now, I tell you, that is a tremendous truth that I just love. Because when I get off track, I have that assurance, that sweet, blessed assurance that God is with me. Amen? And He'll never leave me or forsake me. And I've been in some pretty bad situations where I have, had to keep telling myself that. Amen? We'll go to Scripture Modern Times, number 61, Deuteronomy 2. Through 37. Interesting verse, amen? What we're going to do is look at limitations tonight. I will tell you, limitations, unless you walk in limitations, you will never, ever become, you will never, ever come to the fullness and the purpose that God has created you for. Not in freedom. There's no freedom in God. And God, once we get saved, we just trade one taskmaster for another taskmaster. Once we get saved, we get rid of Satan, who is controlling our life, and we take on God. And we are limited in both situations. And, limitations and restrictions, they bring us to fulfillment and purpose and completion. The more we can walk in those limitations, the more successful we'll be in God. So many Christians want to feel like a horse. They kick up their heels and run and do and go but a horse is only useful when he takes the bit and he takes the saddle. Then and only then, when he's broken and he's limited to his area, he's limited to the horse and to the bit in the saddle. Then and only then he is useful, amen. Deuteronomy 2:37 says, only to the land of children of Ammon comest not, nor unto any place of the river. And notice that word nor is three times. That word nor is no. You can't do that. You can't do that. So here what God is doing is He's limiting Moses. He's telling Moses, you can't go here and do this. You can't go here and you can't fight these people. You can't go and fight these people. These are the people you cannot fight, right? Children of Ammon and comest not, nor to any place of the river of Deca, nor unto the cities in the mountains, nor unto whosoever the Lord of our God forbade us. God was limiting Moses. He did not want Moses to go ahead and fight these people. Now, He didn't tell Moses why. God had a reason. You know, sometimes God don't tell us things. He likes to keep His reasons close to His heart, because He knows if He tells us, then we will want to go ahead and do things ahead of His time. And we'll look at that a little more as we go. Amen. Limitations. Here's the secret. The greater our personal liberty, the greater God's limitations in us. Now, if you're taking notes, you need to underline that or whatever. And you really, really need to think about that. Because the greater our personal liberties, in other words, the greater that God lets us do things, the greater God lets us do things for Him and others, the greater God's limitations in our life. The greater our personal limitations, the greater the freedom God has for us. Boy, now that's, okay, that's a deep thought. And I can maybe, you know, I can maybe illustrate, and I'll come over here, and I'm going to go ahead and kind of illustrate that. And it's like this. We all start, you know, where my hands meet, right? We all start there. And we are in a little limited place. We're in a limited place. But the longer we walk in God, the more of that freedom that God will give us as long as we stay in Him. The reverse of that is true also. If you start here in this wide open space, right, you will end up in a limited place. You will go from great freedom into a limited place. It starts here and it works there. God wants to bring us, start us in a place of limitations and restrictions. And as we walk successfully in these, then He's able to widen our scope. He's able to trust us with more. He's able to give us more responsibilities and more duty. Amen? The greater our personal limitations, the greater freedom God has for us. Again, if you cannot walk in limitations and restrictions, what the Bible says to do, what God tells you to do, well, God can't use you. That's just the bottom line. In God, we must do what God says to do. In God, we must say what God tells us to say. Jesus was a prime example. Jesus never did anything on His own. Jesus said, I only do and say the things that the Father wants me to say and do. And that's why He was so successful. Limitations and restrictions bring us to fulfillment. If there's no fulfillment in your life, it is because you are not walking in the limitations and the restrictions that God has for you. You are walking outside those limitations. Moses could not capture just any city he chose. He was limited to that which God was giving them. Don't take. That will get us into trouble. Amen? Don't take. I hear so many Christians, take it, you know, take it, my brother, you know, take this and take that, and, you know. Well, that's not the way God operates. God doesn't, you know, God doesn't want us to take something, you know. There's a verse that says that the violent takes heaven by force. Well, why would the violent need to be taking heaven? That's not the way we take heaven, you know. So many Christians have this militant attitude, taking it. That's just not the way that God operates. That will get us into trouble. Christians receive from God. And that is the healthy, that is the scriptural way. Most difficulty that believers have are of their own creation. Amen? Most difficulties that believers have, they are from their own creation. And I would say from a lot of wrong teaching. There's a lot of prosperity teachers and stuff, and they say, take it by force and claim it and stand on the promises and do all of these things. Well, that never worked, amen? We cannot take, and we cannot claim, and we cannot stand on the promises and none of that stuff. We can only receive from God's hand, amen? You can't take anything from God. You can't take anything, because anything that happens in your life, if you're God's child, He allows that, and you can't take that. Take is a worldly philosophy. It has invaded the church and has caused many personal problems. It sets believers on the road of their own choosing. Taking and wanting to take, it sets believers on the road of their own choosing. Taking is selfish and leads to presumption. And presumption is to presume to know what is right, but in reality, you are wrong. That is what presumption is. And so many Christians say, well, I'm going to take this for the glory of God. And God hasn't given them. So they think that they're supposed to do this, and so they go out and they take it, and then when they take it, they get in trouble. And then they wonder why they're in trouble. Well, they're in trouble because God has not given that to them. Amen? You know, you know, Christians that are selfish and they lead to presumption and self-centeredness and self-promotion. You can always tell a Christian that is a prosperity, you know, word of faith, all of these guys that are, you know, blabbing and grabbing it and naming it and claiming it and all of this good stuff, taking this and taking that. They are always, always self-centered and they're into self-promotion, because that's a part of that character. Amen? Here's another secret. Perhaps the greatest secret to constant victory on victory living is seek not your own will. Wow. Seek not your own will, but the will of the Father. This was the path of Jesus, who could do nothing of his own. You know, I always find that amazing here in John 5:30. I can of my own self do nothing. Now this is Jesus who created the universe, everything, but he said he can do nothing. Actually there, I have no dunamis, or I have no power there. And as I hear, I judge, okay? So Jesus says, I can do nothing, but as I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will. Now that is a tremendous truth right there that is missing in so many churches. I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because the judgment is not based on emotions or feelings. The judgment is based on not mine own will, but the will of the Father who has sent me. We are to judge. We are to judge. I was in the fitness center. I think last time I was there, and I was talking to this one Christian, and he was about ready to go to fish kitty with me. Well, I told him that we're supposed to judge. Oh no, we're not judging. And he got angry, and I looked at him and I was giving scripture and verse. And I said, okay, Matthew 7:1-14. Bring your Bible. And I said, no, you look it up, Matthew 7. That's the one that starts off, judge not lest you be judged. But if you look at those verses, Jesus was telling you to judge. But he was saying, be careful, take heed, as you judge, you will be judged. So he wants us to judge, righteous judgment. And many Christians get into trouble because they lack that ability to know the difference between ungodly and godly, righteous and unrighteous, ungodly and ungodly. Not right and wrong. The Bible tells us what's right and wrong, but we as Christians, we have to be able to judge something that is ungodly from something that is godly. And most Christians do not have that ability within them, and so they do not separate. Anytime there is a judgment, there must always be a separation. We see that even in a grocery store. We go by and we look at the cucumbers. Oh, this is a good one. I'm going to take this one. Oh, this is a bad one. They ought to throw that one away. But anytime in the Bible, when you look at it, anytime there is a judgment, there's a judgment, there's always a separation. Amen? Mm-hmm. So when we judge situations in our life, we need to separate ourselves from situations. We need to separate ourselves even from some people. And that's just kind of the way that spiritual judgment operates. Amen? Mm-hmm. We are to judge, but not out of our own will. Whew. We are to judge, but not out of our own will. When we do, right, when we do, then we taint the truth and cause corruption in our heart. When we make a judgment about something or someone out of our own will and not what God says, then we will taint the truth of that judgment and bring corruption in our heart. Man, and that's what happens. That's what Jesus was saying. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will. Wow. Many of today's Christians believe and feel that they are able to operate for God on their own. If they do not admit this with their mouth, then they do with their lives. Once we move out on our own in a direction or an action of our own choosing, we lose correctness. I'm on, Once we lose out on our own, in a direction or an action, on our own now, then we lose that correctness. We lose the correctness, the truth. We lose the way that God wants it to be done, and now we're out there on our own. The reason for the accuracy of Jesus is very clearly stated. My judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father who has sent me. Amen?
Yeah.
Our judging is done in our heart and nowhere else. When we judge somebody, we are judging them in our heart. Most times, if our heart condemns us, then we will condemn somebody else. But this is a deep thought here. If our heart, if we don't like that person, and our heart, we're upset in our heart at this person, then we will go ahead and judge them out of our heart. And most times when we get angry with someone and we say something that we ought not to say, we are judging them out of our heart and not out of the will that God has for us. Amen? Now, it has little to do with Jesus' power and authority here, but all to do with his heart. Jesus' heart was not toward his own will. Jesus' heart was toward the will of the Father. So he could judge righteous judgment, and his judgment would be correct, and it would be pure. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
It had little to do with Jesus' power, because he was all-powerful and had the authority. But Jesus made that judgment based out of his heart. And his heart was always to do the will of the Father. In the wilderness of Kinnemoth, the main theme is forward progression. Remember, we are in the wilderness of Kinnemoth, and the theme of that is forward progression. But in such a progression, there should be a concern for accuracy. Accuracy. Otherwise, there may be regression. Either you are moving forward or you're moving backward. Remember I said that? There's no neutral in God. There's never a day where you're just, I'm just going to be here and do nothing. In God, either we're moving forward or we're moving backward. Otherwise, if you're not moving forward, then there'll be regression. Amen? Regression rather than progression. Otherwise, our spiritual life may be more unhealthy than healthy. Otherwise, we may have spiritual poverty rather than spiritual richness. Progression in God coming, progression in God's comes not by doing or even serving, but by obedience. We move forward in God not by doing all these things and serving all these things. The only way that we can move forward in God, and this has been a theme through all of these, is by our obedience to God, by doing the will of the Father, not our will. That's why Jesus was so successful. That's why Jesus could move forward and get all those things, because he was obedient to the Father. That is a lesson that we all must learn. We regret in God when we desire and act on it, our will instead of what God wills. We will regret in God when we desire, I'd like to. And then the desire is not good. But when we act on that desire, when we take those desires, to heart, and when we take those desires and we start moving in those desires, we move in our will instead of what God wills, and then we start regressing in God. Thus, it is imperative that we take this yoke upon us, coming under his limitations, his limiting factors. This applies in the natural realm as well as in the spiritual realm. Fulfillment in miracle relationship is bound by limitations. Amen? I think everybody here, married, right? But as long as we maintain that relationship with our spouse, those limited relationships, then there will be purpose and there will be, good things will happen. But when we have a threesome, or when we do all of those crazy things out there, or we, you know, do the things we ought not to do, that's when there's problems. So it's those limitations in our life, even in our miracle life, that will bring fulfillment and completion. Agricultural, transportation, everything we do is bound by limitations if we desire to come to fulfillment. Limitations always bring us to fulfillment. Amen. The yoke of the Lord is for learning. Matthew 11:29 the yoke of the Lord is for learning. You see that in Matthew 11:29. Learning, not just learning scripture, not learning verse and be able to do this and do that. Because you can do all of those things. You can be the best speaker in the world. You can be the best servant in the world. But if you never ever become like Jesus, if you never ever have a heart like Jesus, if you never let Him work on your character, if you never ever learn His ways, then you will never ever be victorious. You will never ever come into that place of fulfillment and purpose that He desires for us. So Matthew 11:29, Jesus says, "Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart." Wow. That's what we learn. We learn who Jesus is and how much He loved us. Even Moses moved apart from God, taking his own direction and striking the rock. And we can see that in Numbers 20:8-12. Instead of speaking to it, and Moses did this out of frustration, and of course those stiff-necked children of Israel just drove Moses crazy, I'm sure. And he struck the rock. And as a result, Moses was not permitted to lead the people into the promised land. Moses was not allowed to come to the purpose that God has called him for. Moses' life, Moses was 120. 40 years he lived in the lap of luxury in Pharaoh. 40 other years he lived on the backside of the desert in Midian. And then the last 40 years, God used him to lead to be the deliverer and lead the children of Israel out into the promised land. But because he did not listen to God, he moved out of God's plan, he moved out of God's will, he was not allowed to lead the children into the promised land. Coming to fulfillment to what God had called him to do. Wow. You know, and that really hit home to me. So many Christians, so many people, so many pastors, so many teachers and people, all that are out there, you know, and they do all of these things, you know. But if they're not careful and they don't stay in God's will and do what God wants them to do, then they will come out. You know, they'll come out of God's will, and then they will end as a castaway. I think it's 1 Corinthians 11:13. I'm not sure about that verse. Paul says that after I have preached and taught and done all of these things and ministered and stuff, that at the end I would be a castaway. And that word castaway is a powerful word. It's a powerful word. That word castaway means put up on the shelf so that you can watch. Can you imagine that? That you've preached and you've taught, you've done all of those things, and you know, God said, "Well, okay, because you didn't do what you're supposed to do, I'm going to put you up on the shelf, and now you can watch what's going on." Wow. You'll watch others go ahead and minister. You didn't do what I wanted you to do, so now I'm going to put you up on this shelf. Amen. But we know Moses did take it into the promised land. Amen? Yeah. Moses did make it in the promised land. Mark 9:4, you know, talks about, you know, Elijah, and he talks about Moses on the Mount of Transfiguration, you know. You know, they saw Moses and they saw Elijah, so Moses did make it to the promised land. But he didn't go in with the children of Israel. He never, he never fulfilled his purpose. Amen? He never completed his mission. Some parting thoughts. If the Kinnamoth in our lives is to be that which God intends it to be, There must be progression. There must be forward, healthy, prosperous progression. In order for this to be so, there must be vision. Most Christians haven't got a clue of what God wants them to do. Oh God, tell me what you want me to do. Well, read the Bible. Spend time in prayer. Allow God to speak to you. Very, very famous verse here, Proverbs 29:18. And it's kind of used a lot, but it's not really kind of, you told the way here. Anyway, let's look at this verse. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Now, most people take this verse when they're going to go ahead at the beginning of the year and they start talking about, okay, this is what we want the church to do. We want, this is the vision for the church and we're going to do this and that, right? Where there's no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Amen? But this word vision here is not talking about what we're going to do in the coming year. This is talking about a forward progression. This is talking about moving forward in God. This is talking about having limitations and restrictions. The vision that we're supposed to have is the same vision that God has. That's the same thing. And what we're doing right here is we have that same limitations and those same restrictions. The vision that God wants for our life. And when we have that, and without that, if we don't have that vision of limitations and restrictions in our life, then the people will perish. But he that keepeth the law, what God wants us to do, happy is he. Not only forward progress, but healthy, godly, righteous living. If we have God's vision, then we will have righteous living. And righteous living is where we just live right. God doesn't have to tell us how to live right. We just know what God wants in our life and we have a relationship with him. And we just, whatever we do is just right. We just don't have to think about it. It's like breathing. Whatever we do, it's just right. Wow. That's what God's intention for us is that godly righteous living. And there can be no limitations without vision. There can be no limitations without vision. How could we be limited to God's way if we do not come into his view? Because many do not have a vision. There is little or no progress in their Christian living. Our own ways are often fill our vision. Our own ways often fill our vision. What we want to do. What this guy wants to do. What that guy wants to do. No. We must have God's vision. And we must walk in his ways. And his ways is limited. Amen? We must be willing to lay aside our wills and seek the will of the Father. In Matthew 7:14 talks about straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth not into heaven, but it leads into life. That same life as Jesus has come, I have come that you may have life, the Zoe life, and have it more abundantly. The life of God is found in that narrow walk, in that straight gate. Enter in at the straight gate. Narrow is the way. The Bible says that few shall find it. Not heaven, but few will find that narrow, straight gate that God has for us. Amen? We must be willing to lay aside our own wills and seek the will of God. It is either our vision for our life or it's God's. I mean, that's just kind of sums up a lot of things I've said. It is either our vision for our life or it's God's. If we have a desire to clobber the enemy, remember the enemy could be Satan, it could be the bad guy, it could be whatever, we might first consider the will of the Father. He may not be moving in certain desires of ours. He may want us to wait for his timing. Amen? Jesus never clobbered the devil in Matthew 4:1-11. Now, I always thought that was amazing. When I first read that, I thought, well, wait a minute. Now, here's Jesus and the devil, they're squaring off, and three times Jesus could have took him out. Why didn't he destroy Satan? Why didn't he destroy the devil? we wouldn't have any problems. Life would just be so wonderful. You know, we would be like in the Garden of Eden. But that's not what Jesus did. Now, we would want to do that. I don't know about you, but I'd want to go ahead and clobber the devil, and I'd want to finish him. You know, if I had the power to do that, I think that. But that's not what God did. Wow. Huh. Now, he's going to do that, am I right? His day is coming. Right? In the book of Revelation, it tells us, you know, what's going to happen. But that's not today. Until then, God is going to wait, because he's got a plan, and he's got a purpose, he's got a vision, and we just need to kind of move in that. When Satan came to Jesus in Matthew 4:1-11, Jesus did not immediately bounce on him. Jesus stayed under the temptation until it was the Father's time for him to say to Satan, "Get thee hence." The same thing in our life. We need to stay under that temptation, stay in that trial, stay in that situation, looking for the way of escape until the Father says, "It's time to move out." And while you're there, it's a learning process. You're learning things. God is teaching you things through that tough, difficult time in your life. Amen? We must stay under God's limitations and restrictions until it is time to move. And not until. Amen? And not until. They are our safety. They are for our safety and our fulfillment. Limitations and restrictions in our life that we stay up under until God says to move are for our safety and our fulfillment. Especially our safety. So many people would want to go ahead and run and do this and do that, and then get into serious, serious trouble. They have moved outside. You know, with Peter walking on the water, so many messages I have heard about Peter walking on the water. How wonderful Peter, what a miracle Peter. My question always was, why did Peter get out of the safety of the boat? Peter was in a place of safety and security. He was in a place where he just needed to stay where Jesus put him. But now he, "If it be you, Lord," well, okay, come on. You know, I think Peter should have stayed in the boat.
Yep.
Amen. The Father can bring us into immediate action in some situations, or it could be a situation in which we must wait until the Father's time. Amen. The wisdom in that is knowing, is it time to move now or do I wait? Amen. And the only way you know that is when you spend time with the Lord. Move now. Let's go. Let's go do it. Or, no, just wait. Just back up. Wait. I'm working some things out and things will be all right. Or it could be that the Father does not want us to even mess with certain situations. Wow. Can you believe that? That the Father does not want us to mess with certain situations. But if we have the vision, then we will know. There are things God does not want us to mess with. That'd be a great place to say amen.
Amen.
There are hands off. There are things that God doesn't want us to mess with. Hands off. There are people God does not want us to mess with. Hands off. Leave them to God. Leave those situations to God. Leave those people to God. Let God handle those situations and those people. If not, we will step out of the fulfillment in our life, and we will step out of the safety, and we will step out of those limitations that God hands for us. Amen? And I can personally relate to that, because I have the prayer request for Mike at the clinic. God said, "I will take care of him." So I must take my hands off. I love him very, very much, and it hurts, because we've been having this partnership for 14 years. I knew him in Germany, and I love him very much, but some things are going on that just don't make sense, and so God says, hands off, and I must take my hands off. Amen?
Amen.
So, Heavenly Father, as we come to you now, Lord, we thank you and we praise you for your love and your many blessings, Father. Lord, thank you for your word, Father, Lord. May it go out, Father, Lord God, and touch lives, Father, Lord God. Thank you for all the people that listen to these teachings, Father, Lord God, over the internet, Father, Lord. Just bless them and keep them and help them, Father, Lord God. Let your word be rich and merciful in them, Father, Lord God. And we just thank you and we praise you, Father, Lord God. Thank you for your word, Father, Lord God. Thank you for your word, and we just love you and we thank you, Father. And we pray these things in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Amen.